The hard lining of the vest pressed against my cheek, scratching my skin, leaving it raw and red. I felt the cold rush of snow beneath the seat of my pants. My haunches went numb. Expecting to open my eyes among the wolves on Mog, my heart sank when I realized where I was. It had been my worst sleep since the night I met Barris. My pack proved to be an uncomfortable pillow, and the plastic tarp served better as a windbreaker than a blanket. I could barely feel my legs. Pulling my good arm through the sleeve of the vest, I kept the other inside the sleeve of my shirt. I picked at the remains of my food, setting aside the larger crumbs for later. My arm stung. I need a splint. I fumbled with my tender arm in search of some sort of brace. Opening my pack, I surveyed my scavenged materials. The plastic shards from the ship's seats caught my eye. These will do. It would be difficult making a splint with only one good arm. Nonetheless, I had to try. After removing the vest, I shivered from the shock of cold air. Then I set the plastic shards in my lap. Positioning my injured arm on top of the plastic, I faced it upward. Then, sandwiching the other piece of plastic over the injured arm, I wrapped the linens around the splint, improvising the knots with the aid of my teeth. My good arm did the tying, and my bite managed the pulling. I feared making it too tight and cutting off circulation. My extremities were already numb. I moved the knots around to make sure that they were not suffocating my injury. Pitifully excited that it was still warm, I put my vest back on. Then I closed up my pack and struggled to my feet. The wind stopped and the sun peeked out from behind the clouds. Basking in a small ration of light, a certainty dawned upon me. Darkness was coming soon. The planets of that system had short days. Darkness above and ice below, that was my doom. I realized that this world, Mog's sister, proved a more worthy death sentence. The Council had never heard of her, but if they had, this icy birth would have been my exile, not Mog. What a lonely world she was, unforgiving and bitter. Slighted by her measly son, she benumbed the terrain with her frozen bite. Suspended by frost, suppressing life, the planet restricted any foundations for origin. I began my hike across the chilly region, with each step feeling the same. There were few variances on the ground beneath me. Each heavy stomp sunk my boots deep into the snow, lifting up powdery clouds. The pattern was unending. After several hours, my mind went numb, devoid of thoughts. I slipped into a trance, vexed and lumbering on like a machine. The resistance against my legs made them ache, but I didn't stop on account of it. Desensitized to physical exhaustion, my mind suffered the torment, restrained from grasping measurement. Time became an indeterminate moment, unable to adjust to shortened days and powerless to gauge the distance traveled. I pressed on, every step behind me appearing the same. Except, something stood out off in the distance. A gigantic wall, much darker than the white encompassment I'd come to loathe. I increased my pace, wanting to investigate it. This break in pattern intrigued me. I yearned for variation. I didn't care if it was just a big rock, at least it was something. Trudging desperately toward it, the thing stood farther away than I thought. It felt like a half-hour trek, but truthfully, I had no idea. The sides of the thing sloped upward, reaching back into a pallid rocky wall. What was it? Think for a moment. Use your brain, Addie. Where have you seen this before? The foothill of a mountain. The summit disappeared into the sky, stretching higher than I could see. Behind it, sister peaks trailed off into the distance. A range of them, a full range of mountains, blemishing the face of its world. Vindictively, I took sick joy in it. Laughing at my coarse, icy adversary, I commended the mountain range for its stalwart formation. She could do nothing but angrily twist herself in an arctic ferment. The mountains did not care. Smiling, I felt it provoked her, and I moved closer to my towering comrade. There I stood at the base of it all. There was certainly no climbing the mountain. It was far too slick and steep with a broken arm. Too dangerous. Instead, I decided to wander the foothill. Perhaps it would lead somewhere. Anywhere. Are there any outposts here? My gut told me probably not. Stopping, I adjusted my splint once more, making sure my arm received proper circulation in those sub-zero conditions. I took out my crumbs and licked them up. I could have saved them, but they didn't offer much in the first place. They certainly wouldn't be missed. Removing the last bottle of water, I began to drink, stopping myself from overdoing it. I kept the bottle in my vest, close to my body, to avoid freezing the liquid. When it was empty, I planned to refill it with snow, then return it to my vest and melt it back to water. Unfortunately, the cold was severe against my skin, a very minor sacrifice. When I tasted the water, sterile, wholly uncontaminated, there was no better sensation. As I walked, determined to find an end to the foothills, I mentally reviewed my survival training. I had water, but wouldn't last long without food. Thanks to Lear, I could easily hunt small animals, but I had yet to see any sign of life. My splint protected my arm, but even that wouldn't last long without warmth. And how long will I last with only myself to talk to? Shuffling through knee-deep snow, I found new meaning in devastation. For the last 8 years, I had agonized over finding my husband, but in the first few hours spent on that planet, nothing else mattered. For once, I was alone. But I had no reason to dwell on that. I had neither the time nor the strength. Instead, I had to keep moving, and that took up the bulk of my energy. It was simple, wasn't it? Just keep moving. Don't die. And that took everything out of me, even thoughts of my husband. Is this what it takes to finally let go? A short time passed, but the sun drastically changed position. The sky grew dark again. Trying to ignore it, I held on to my sanity. I will walk until I am thirsty again. I will drink, and then I will sleep. Yes, Addie. Pay close attention to your body. Your body is the only measurable thing you have. I pressed on, solutions for food already mapped out in my head. I assumed the mountains had caves, and if any life survived this world's conditions, it would have moved underground. My stomach growled. I removed the bottle of ice, now cold water, from my vest. Dinner time, then sleep. A new day came as quickly as the last slipped away. Ignoring it, I slept my regular schedule, and in doing so, I went through the motions of rousing myself, checking my splint, drinking water, and picking up where I left off. Hello, foothills. Glad to see you're all still there. I was beginning to think I imagined you. Keep me company until you lead me underground, whether via refuge or death. The loneliness crept up on me, despite my state of denial. Speaking to myself no longer distracted me. At one point, I remembered thinking, I don't feel very well today. Which was a bright diagnosis, all things considered. My broken arm, still throbbing with pain, began to feel stiff inside the vest. Though the discomfort grew crippling, I kept my pace along the mountain. Clutching my arm to my body, I tried to make the tender throb disappear. Instead, it stung and ached, possibly infected. The swelling ballooned through my limb and siphoned into my chest. I huffed through blue lips, trembling and stained with sweat from my brow. Trudging along, I wheezed to the mountain, "Please let me in!" Tears trickled down my face, but I did not feel them. I moved forward slower and slower until I could not move any further. No entrance to the mountain in sight. My breathing slowed, so thick and heavy that it hung in my throat, disembodied from my lungs. My head's hot, my arm's hot. I can't lift the pack, I mumbled to no one. I dropped the pack into the snow, drowsy, hallucinating, and warm. I slumped down onto it, draping myself over the pack, drifting into my inevitable fate. Into death.